For brands in the digital age, content is the customer experience. That's why industry leaders like KFC, MailChimp, and BMW rely on the Contentful Composable Content Platform to easily create, collaborate, manage, and deliver content across all channels, resulting in meaningful customer experiences and significant business results. Ready to maximize your content's potential? Get started at Contentful.com. Contentful, where content drives business momentum.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, March 5th. I'm Cordelia James for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, clunky old software is causing a $1.5 trillion problem. WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims tells us why technical debt is behind flight cancellations and security breaches, and what will happen if companies continue to ignore it. And then, last week, the U.S. Justice Department was handed a crushing defeat in a case involving the trade secrets of U.S. chip maker Micron Technology. We'll find out why the verdict is being seen as a setback in efforts to contain Chinese corporate theft from WSJ senior reporter Aruna Viswanathan. But first, quick fixes, outdated systems, these kinds of security vulnerabilities give rise to something known as technical debt, a silent killer that can result in big, expensive problems for companies. So how are Americans paying the price? And what can businesses do about it? WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims spoke with our colleague Alex Osola. Here's their conversation.
Christopher, give us an example of technical debt.
In software, it's all the new code and new architectures that developers pushed out the door to create something shiny and new, but didn't bother to go back and update or modernize or make more efficient. So a really obvious one was December 2022. Southwest Airlines had to cancel 1,500 flights, ultimately pay a huge fine. And it was all because they had never modernized the system that decides, you know, which crews go where. So a little bit of bad weather just totally overwhelmed it.
How much does technical debt cost?
One expert I talked to said that it costs us $2.4 trillion a year in lost productivity. And to completely resolve all of America's technical debt would cost us nearly $2 trillion. So these figures are multiples of what we currently pay in interest on the national debt. So if we don't deal with our technical debt, the problem just gets bigger and bigger.
Are there certain kinds of organizations or institutions that technical debt is a bigger problem for?
Unfortunately, the institutions that we rely on the most have the most technical debt. It's just a function of their age. So the U.S. military is a place where we have a really worrisome amount of technical debt. And the chief information officer for the Department of Defense has said this has gotten out of hand. Banks have a big issue with technical debt because, of course, they got on the IT train first. There's just all these really old systems, healthcare, insurance. All these industries use really old systems that they haven't modernized. One problem is a lot of these organizations, their tech stack is so big and so sprawling that they don't even know what it is they have.
How do we fix it?
One way that this might get fixed is through regulation. The EU has said that if the software or the data in a product is defective, people can sue for that. Another way that this gets fixed is that old companies with old tech just die. I call it technical bankruptcy. So you could attribute a lot of the quote-unquote disruption of the past 20 years, all these new cloud-based companies like Salesforce or whatever. One reason they could disrupt the old players was that they didn't have all this technical debt. They were just starting with a greenfield and they just built it from nothing. Of course, now they do have technical debt. You know, some companies are better at handling it than others.
What's at stake if our technical debt isn't resolved?
Big issue with technical debt not being resolved is national security. So systems that are easy to compromise. I mean, we already know that China has done massive infiltration of probably the U.S. military, but definitely our infrastructure. You know, Russia is always probing. But the other problem is just who knows when the next Southwest Airlines catastrophe is going to happen.
That was our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, speaking with Alex Osola. Coming up, we'll find out what a crushing defeat in a trade secrets case means for U.S. efforts to address Chinese corporate theft. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Micron Technology is the only U.S. company that makes a type of memory chip used to store data in everything from phones to laptops. The company provides close to one-third of the world's supply. That chip technology is difficult to replicate. Until recently, China did not have the capability to make these kinds of chips. So when Micron learned that some former employees teamed up with a rival that worked with a Chinese government-owned company in Taiwan, U.S. prosecutors thought it would be a straightforward case of state-sponsored corporate theft. But last week, a federal judge disagreed. WSJ senior reporter Aruna Viswanatha joins us now with more on what that verdict means. Aruna, this Micron case has been at the center of a push to protect U.S. intellectual property for nearly a decade. Give us some background. How did this begin?
The seeds of this start in 2015 when some senior managers at Micron's fabrication plant in Taiwan leave the company and go to a rival in Taiwan that's newly getting into the field of developing these same kind of memory chips that Micron is at the forefront of making. And this Taiwanese company is partnering with a Chinese state-owned company to try to set up a rival fab in China. And so these employees leave abruptly and end up taking a lot of stuff with them. And Micron, when they dig into their departures, they pull some of the laptops that these employees had used and realize that they downloaded hundreds of files from the Micron servers. And so they bring this to law enforcement and push the Justice Department, the Commerce Department, at that point, the Trump administration, because this was after 2017, they push the administration to take action on what they've found. And the government is very interested in this. And so they sort of view this as a very open and shut case. They go after the Chinese state-owned company. They go after their Taiwanese partner. They go after the employees that had left Micron. They criminally charge all of them. They file these civil cases to stop this company from trying to export these chips back to the United States. They take a whole lot of actions to try to help Micron out of this jam. And they raise this as sort of the blueprint for what they're going to do to take a harder line on China. And so they set this up as a marquee effort.
So the case finally went to court. What was the verdict?
So this case was filed in 2018, and it's been progressing very slowly for years. And the Taiwanese partner had pleaded guilty and agreed to cooperate. And then the prosecutors were continuing to pursue the case against the Chinese state-owned company. And that was the one they really wanted to show that here was a Chinese government-funded effort stealing from an American company. And the verdict last week was an acquittal. The judge said she could not find this Chinese state-owned company guilty of stealing from Micron. And the reasons for that are pretty nuanced, but overall, it's a really big blow to the government's efforts to try to hold Chinese government-funded companies responsible for this kind of behavior.
What was Micron's response to this?
Micron declined to answer our questions about this broader effort and acknowledged that they had settled their case against the Chinese state-owned company Fujian Jinhua last year and left it at that.
And how has the Justice Department responded?
They also are being pretty quiet about this right now. They said they wanted to see the judge's full official ruling, so they also similarly declined to comment.
What was Micron's position when the Justice Department brought the case in 2018?
So they were very aggressive early on in trying to push the Justice Department and others to take action, and they got the government to basically block Fujian Jinhua, the Chinese competitor, with getting access to U.S. technology. And then they got this criminal case filed. They were pretty public about trying to be vindicated in as the victim.
And how did China respond?
So last year, we saw the Chinese government take action against Micron and say that they didn't view Micron as a safe supplier for some of their largest companies in China, that it could be a national security concern for them to buy Micron chips. And so after that, we've seen Micron take a very different strategy when it comes to trying to address their problems in China. After years of not really sending their senior executives to China, they sent a parade of their senior executives to China to try to smooth things over. They announced new investments there, and they've tried to pull back on their very public campaign in Washington.
You reported that Micron had gotten about a quarter of its revenue from China, which is pretty significant. So how did China's action against Micron affect the company?
After China had implemented this partial ban last year, there was a sense that they were going to lose a lot of revenue and this could have a pretty big financial impact on them. But in recent months, the artificial intelligence boom has really helped Micron's business kind of bounce back. And at this point, they seem to have weathered this controversy pretty well, and their stock is up at an all-time high.
Why is it so hard for the Justice Department to address Chinese corporate theft?
What this verdict shows is that, one, sometimes they may have pursued cases where the facts were a little bit murky and they couldn't quite pin it on the Chinese company. And two, when pursuing criminal cases, they usually have the ability to serve subpoenas on a lot of people that collect a lot of information and documents and emails. And here, they don't have access to information from within China, and they can't get information from the phones of people that might have been involved in China. They can't build the kind of case that they're used to making. And when that's the case, their cases might not end up meeting the burden of proof that they need to prove that this happened in a U.S. court.
That was our senior reporter, Aruna Viswanatha. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Cordelia James for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.